Thought Leadership Studio.
You're listening to Thought Leadership Studio, the podcast that helps you master high-level positive mass influence to create distinctive business niches, captivate an audience, grow your following, and change the game by changing the frame with strategic thought leadership.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Welcome back to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, and this is episode 79, Matching Marketers to Companies with Behzad Jamshidi. Strategic Matchmaking and Marketing, Behzad Jamshidi on Finding Passionate Partners, Leveraging Artificial Intelligence, and Advancing Online Messaging. What this episode will do for you is introduce you to Behzad Jamshidi, the marketing matchmaker, and discover his journey as an award-winning marketing strategist and founder of CGM Marketing and his unique approach to connecting businesses with the right marketing partners. Learn about building successful marketing partnerships through the importance of finding marketing partners who are passionate and have a long-term mindset and fit your business in the business's size, the business's goals, the business's growth path, so this can drive sustainable business growth. Explore the innovative use of AI in marketing, including artificial intelligence-supported content and design, and how these technologies can enhance marketing strategies. Learn about specialization and strategy, and why hiring specialized marketing partners is crucial and how it can fast-track your marketing efforts to achieve better results. And learn advanced online messaging by gaining valuable insights on improving your online presence and messaging with practical recommendations for businesses at various stages of growth. But before we dive more deeply into this episode, in case you're new here, consider that I created the Thought Leadership Studio podcast to help listeners improve their thought leadership skills. So whether or not you consider yourself a thought leader at this point, consider that I've come to the conclusion that the practice of strategic thought leadership is now fundamental to effective marketing and helpful in any area of positive influence. It's about leading an audience to embrace a unique perspective that gives them more value. So this podcast is designed to provide an accelerated training process. And an important part of this is having models of excellence, for which I provide interviews of people who excel in one or more areas relevant to strategic thought leadership. And if you're listening on an app, make sure you visit the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com. It's linked in the episode description for a summary of the episode with a curated transcript, a story and images, and additional resources and offers. In this episode, I'm excited to introduce Behzad Jamshidi, an award-winning marketing strategist and the founder of CGM Marketing. Behzad, known for his expertise in digital marketing, branding, and strategic planning, is a master matchmaker in the marketing world, with the unique ability to bridge the gap between businesses and the right marketing partners. He ensures that each partnership is built on passion, the right fit, and a long-term mindset. His innovative approach includes the use of AI-supported content and design, keeping his strategies at the cutting edge of marketing technology. In our conversation, we dive into the importance of finding specialized marketing partners and the impact of passion and commitment on long-term success. We explore how businesses can fast-track their marketing strategies by hiring the right partners at the right time, and the role of AI in modern marketing. So without further ado, let's jump right into the interview.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Mm-hmm. So I'm your host with Thought Leadership Studio, Chris McNeil, and I'm sitting here across Zoom and across an ocean with Behdad Jamshidi, who's an award-winning marketing strategist and founder of CGM Marketing. He helps businesses find marketing partners and grow through these marketing solutions. He has expertise in digital marketing, branding, and strategic planning. And known for his excellence and attention to detail, he's also led numerous successful campaigns and is a sought-after speaker and thought leader. Welcome, Behdad. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so you help companies find marketing agencies. You're kind of a matchmaker in that sense. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what led you to this path? Was there a pivotal moment or a turning point that opened this path for you and put you on the road to where you are now doing this?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things kind of added up and then that pivotal moment happened, right? So I think you already know, I used to be an engineer and I used to do business consulting for mid-sized companies. But on the marketing side, I initially started out doing websites, Google Ads, SEO for small businesses, but I very quickly realized that I didn't enjoy doing 80-hour websites on the weekend. Like that was not something that was interesting to me. I enjoyed my full-time job. But as I kind of went through that and started looking for different partners to work with, say someone to do the website piece for a customer of mine, I started realizing most marketing agencies didn't understand business and most business people didn't understand marketing. And whenever you put them in the same meeting, they didn't speak the same language. Agencies would pick up work that they shouldn't pick up because they're typically good at one to three things. And so that gave me the idea of like, well, there's a gap here. And maybe someone can bridge that gap by helping businesses match with the right marketing partners. And over the years, it started out with agencies. Now it's with fractional CMOs and I have different consultants for copywriting and different things like that. And it's all about just being that bridge or that connector in that space.
That's awesome. So how do you do that? What's your criteria? What do you look for in an organization that informs your decision as to what kind of marketing partner they need? And what do you look for in a marketing partner that informs what kind of company they'd be well suited for?
Yeah, really good questions. So the way that I go about on the business side, it's a lot of my experience from the TELUS side. So going into a business, understanding from the top level down on like how things are kind of running. It's a lot easier with the businesses I work with now because they're not as big as the mid-sized market that I was working with before. Mm-hmm. But it's really understanding like what the vision is, where they're headed, what kind of resources they have, how they think about marketing. Are there certain channels that are working and kind of what got them to where they are today? And then based on where they're trying to go, is the thing they're asking me for going to get them there? Or do we need to rethink about, hey, potentially getting a marketing strategy in place or using different channels that they might have never thought about, right? So there's a bit of that consulting piece on the front end to make sure that we are going down the right rabbit hole. So that's on the business side. And if they agree with the way that I think about it to say, hey, I think you should be doing this. Do you want me to go find the partners for you and match you? And they say yes. Then on the agency side, I've been meeting, at this point, I've met with over 861 different marketing agencies and partners.
Thank you.
A lot. And so I've always been doing this. I've always been, for the last 5 years, meeting multiple agencies per week or partners and just learning more about them, right? Initially, it always starts with a 30-minute call because I just want to make sure they have the right values, the right mindset, how they were built, all that different kind of stuff. And then if I feel like they're partners that potentially have something in them, then I go to a second round and a third round, you know, look at their work, do all that stuff, and then do 1 hour deep dives with 30 to 35 questionnaires. And some of the things that I look for just at a high level is length of years in business, because that's number one. If you haven't been in a business as a marketing agency for 5 years, nowhere near enough time to put the processes and systems in place to actually just be even stable for your customers, right? Mm-hmm. And then number two is like the passion, right? Like why are they running that marketing agency? That matters a lot of time because a lot of people are in it just to make a ton of money and then sell in 2 years. So typically they don't care that much about their customers versus you talk to some agency owners like, I've been doing this for 14 years and I'm going to do it until I decide to sell it when I get a lot older. Like, so they're in it like passionately because they want to build this thing long term. And you typically don't see them like scaling their agencies really fast because business like marketing agencies aren't scalable businesses without like breaking for the customers on the customer side.
Yeah, I wonder how that happens because I've seen and I used to have an agency myself and we still have some legacy customers from that. Probably more to the consulting and coaching space in that and in thought leadership. But
what I've seen is that when agencies grow and take on a lot of customers, they bring on a lot of junior people who don't really know the landscape very well and send these people to the customers, and they just don't really have the experience to understand what to do. They just kind of do the, you know, plus or minus 5% of the norm that they see themselves.
Basically. Yeah.
So if someone's listening to this and they have an agency or they're a marketer, how would you advise them to grow their business and maintain high level service?
Yeah. So if we're talking about the agency side of things, like, be really realistic about how fast you can grow without breaking, right? Like, typically an agency, and I've read different books from different consultants and talked to different consultants, 10 to 15% is typically like the growth rate of an agency, right? Where you won't break, you bring on certain people, you give them enough time to learn, and you're not breaking your agency business. A lot of the best agencies that I work with, they have set times that they will take on customers, right? Like, they have every 2 weeks, they have a certain amount of onboarding. If they can't fit you into this 2 week slot or the next 2 week slot, you might be waiting a month and a half to get onboarded, but that's because they built the systems and processes in place so that they don't overload their team and break, right? I was just, for example, looking for one customer recently. They're in Australia. My network is really strong in North America, a little bit of Europe, but mostly in North America. Mm-hmm. And I've had agencies be like, Beta, you know, our team only works before 4:30 and we don't want to overwork them. And so therefore we can't take on this customer, right? Whereas some other agencies would take it on and overload their, I mean, if the culture is not fit, they will overload their employees, and the customer might not end up being happy about it. Neither are your employees. And over time, that's not a business that's going to be scalable or one that's going to do well in the long term.
So temper your ambition, basically.
Yeah.
It's a challenging thing to do in business, isn't it?
It is. It's like, if you want like to like scale really fast and do a lot of crazy things, maybe go into the SaaS space, maybe go into the app space, get some funding. That's all about like scalability and doing things. In the marketing agency space, the best ones are like the ones that have slow growth and think about who they want to service and how many people they want to service and not overloading too much.
Gotcha. And of course, those are alien terms to the VC community.
Yes, it is.
Wants the 4-digit returns on their investment and such things. And so, what's going on in the agency space that you would consider very innovative right now?
So there's a lot of like brand going on in terms of like personal brand building. And I wouldn't say it's like innovative. We're kind of moving back to what marketing was before, right? So during COVID, advertising was huge. You could just advertise on Facebook and Google Ads and things would go nuts. Now everyone actually has to go back to marketing. And it's like, okay, well, I can't just use one channel to grow. If I do find one channel that's able to grow, how do I disperse that into other channels so I can diversify? Because things are shifting so fast now. Mm-hmm. So a lot of like what I'm seeing is brands actually turning on multiple different channels and trying to create a flywheel effect of all of them working together. And so you're seeing a ton of people doing LinkedIn brand content, personal brand content, Instagram, all that different kind of stuff. And then a lot of companies in Europe, like agencies in Europe, typically build out their own software for their own customers. So whether they're like an SEO agency, they'll build out software where they're literally tracking the spend on each page, showing like the customer, hey, we brought this page up to this level. This is how much money you're making on this page. Therefore, that's what the value of our SEO service is. There's not a lot of companies doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, ROI for SEO. SEO seems to be a magical black art to a lot of company owners. They just think of somebody with tech skills who magically puts them at the top and don't really consider that they have to have the kind of content that's valuable. I'm talking about organic SEO at this point, of course, that attracts that. So what's your philosophy? And this relates to thought leadership, this angle of this podcast, on harvesting the thinking of a business in order to bring it to the forefront in marketing and show the innovative thinking or lead the marketplace to thinking that favors the business's offerings.
Yeah. So for the way that I think about it is like, let's just talk about the multiple stages of business, right? So if you're starting out, the initial phase is throw everything at the wall and find something that sticks, find your product market fit. At some point, you're going to get to 7 figures if you found that puzzle and that piece out, right? Mm-hmm. Once you get to that like 7-figure space, let's say 3 million above, now you got to really start thinking about a marketing strategy, right? Like, are you in this for the long game? And if you are, you got to start thinking about how do you build out your brand, right? And your brand becomes every single touch point that you have with customers, everywhere that they see you and your messaging and all that different types of stuff. And what a lot of businesses take too long to do is they don't go back to the drawing board. They think because they have a website and they have some words on the website and they have some branding that, you know, that part's figured out. But no, you actually have to go back and refigure that out, because now you have a ton of new information and you actually can figure out what your customers want, so you can be even more direct with your marketing at that point. Once you get that in line, and let's say the business gets to like that $10 million, $20 million range, now you've put leadership in place. And most people think that they can find one agency to solve all their problems. That's a myth, especially in the low and mid-market space. Most agencies are really only good at one to three things. So you have to have a team internally that can bring together multiple things, right? So whether you have that marketing strategy that's going to focus on social and influencer, and let's say SEO, you have to basically find the specialized agencies or partners that can do that type of stuff and bridge that in internally. And then once you get to the $100 million mark, at that point, you could probably hire a lot more of those enterprise agencies where you know you're going to be paying top dollar, but they're going to be taking care of the hiring of the specialists and things on the back end to help move that business forward. And at that point, you probably have a lot of internal resources that you can use as well for your business.
That's really good to hear. And I wonder about how you inventory or how you assess those internal resources to inform the agency fit. And by internal resources, I mean, a company of a certain size might have thought leaders in the company who have a following on LinkedIn. They have an audience because they're communicating directly to their audience. You might have a ghost editor, but they're not over delegating to a ghost writer who's putting words in a mouth. It is their words. It is their thinking. And it's innovative enough to attract an audience. Or they might have people internally that are good at writing, and they write copy. Maybe you have a really technical, innovative product that they have some white papers on they've done. Those are a couple of examples, but what else would you look for in terms of what a company has within their own organization to support marketing? And then how do you fit that with maybe filling gaps, or how do you fit that with agency resources?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So the first thing that I kind of think about, like if you're in that 7 or 8 figure range, you need to have some sort of strategic resource. So some sort of fractional CMO, someone along those lines that you can call on and get consulting on whenever you need it. Number two is, once you have that like fractional CMO in place, you probably already have, you know, a marketing director or someone that's a little bit more junior intermediate that would then be reporting to that fractional CMO and doing the execution type work, or they're also like overseeing what agencies do and feed that back up to the fractional CMO. So those are kind of like the two initial stages that you kind of need. And then in terms of other internal resources, look, if you're company has a very specific channel that you're really, really good at, let's say social media, probably hire a social media manager or someone in-house at that point. Because if your entire lifeline relies on that, you need to build systems and processes and have that person there all the time or a majority of their time, right? But if you have, let's say, another channel running like Google or Facebook ads, and social media might be something that you're going to kind of start out with versus hiring in-house and having to build the systems and processes and the people and keeping and retaining the talent, you can hire a social media agency and get them to do a lot of that uplifting for you, get to a point where it's growing, and then maybe you start bringing that in-house yourself, right? With like a good strategist or anything along those lines. Typically, when I mentioned hiring outsourced agencies is when you need multiple people to get a service completed. Mm-hmm. So if you, let's say, want to run Facebook ads in-house, what do you need? Well, you need someone that's going to be doing videos. You need someone that's going to be doing creative all the time, coming up with creative concepts. You need someone that's going to edit all that content and do it in multiple different ways. Then you need someone to be doing the ad buying. There's like 5 to 6 different roles that you need to run Facebook ads well, or Google ads well, right? And to hire that in-house is very expensive versus spending the $3,000 to $5,000 in the retainer on a Google or Facebook ad agency that will do a lot of that upfront work with you, and maybe even charge you some one-time cost to get the video created. You're saving a lot of time and headache and testing by outsourcing that kind of thing. And you can do that same thing for SEO, social media, influencer marketing, and all those other things.
Absolutely. So do you assist in this part of it, or have you kind of passed the baton along at that point? Or do you help with like workflow design about what you do internally versus externally? Is matchmaking?
Yeah. So in the beginning, when I'm talking to customers, I'll talk about kind of what they're doing, their resources, and I'll go, look, I think this thing you need to do this way, and this thing I think an agency would work, and here's where I can help with that, or even like a fractional CMO, that kind of stuff. My business is also evolving. I am building out an entire database very soon that I'm just going to let people submit into and basically have someone just like filtering things. So at some point, I'm probably going to have even more contractors on my side of like the higher level ones, because there's a lot of marketplaces today where these just let everyone in. And so you don't really know who the actual good marketers are.
Right.
But for me, it's like, okay, can I create a database where it's almost like a roster for me? And then I pull from the roster the people that I really like and create a database where it's like, okay, if my customer's coming in, I'm like, well, it looks like you need more of a part-time social media strategist versus a full-on social media agency. Here's that resource. Or you need a designer. Here's that resource. And so that's kind of like what I'm evolving into so that I can kind of help a customer from every aspect.
Sure.
One other thing that I've done that most people don't think about is like those in-house resource placements. So versus becoming a recruitment agency, like most other people do, I've partnered with a couple in-house recruiters. So when it's like, hey, this actually looks more like an in-house role that you need, talk to this person, they'll help you with that. So that I can help a customer end to end versus like trying to give them what only I have, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. And you know, in today's information glut, when people can use AI to get to a base minimum of presenting themselves online, sure, it all starts to look alike at a certain point.
Yeah.
The trusted curation seems like such a huge value add. How much time you can save from having to sort through those things and find out for yourself what's right, as well as a strategy piece. And just the outside set of eyes that you bring.
Yeah.
How many companies miss the forest for the trees? You know, they don't see their marketing or their presentation to the public. And I'm trying to remember who the quote came from, that marketing is just how your company looks from the outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in hierarchical organizations, especially, we don't always see how our organization looks from the outside.
Yeah.
Through that lens of the customer's less deep understanding of what we do. We think something's valuable to the customer, they might buy for an entirely different reason until you go over to their side of the table. So that curation piece, I think is extremely valuable, as well as the strategy piece. So what's your vision for the future of marketing? If you could wave the magic wand and create any change in online marketing you wanted to, and it took no effort, how would things be different?
Man, I think for me is just finding people's mindsets around marketing shifting, especially on the business owner side, where we've come into this kind of place where we expect instant results. And instant results don't exist in marketing for long-term things. Everything that people have been taught up to this point is like, oh, I should be able to do this and get money right back. The number of times that I've heard a business owner come say, well, if we're spending this much money and I'm getting this much money back, I'll keep spending money. I'm like, yeah, if that could work that way, then everyone would be running a business. Marketing takes time, and it takes a lot of time and a lot of testing and a lot of iterations. And so you can't go into something and say, I'm going to test this out for 2 to 3 months. I hope it works. And if it doesn't, I'm going to cancel it. It's not enough time. You got to give yourself, you know, a year, 2 years, and make sure that you have the right marketing strategy in place so that when you're running it, you can make changes and shifts, but you need to run it for long enough for flywheels to take effect, for people to start hearing your messaging over and over and over again, that it just starts clicking for them. And so that if there's one thing that I could change is just the business owner's mindsets around how they approach marketing and to approach it long-term.
Absolutely. Well, that's been a long-term issue, hasn't it? And then I remember, was it Ogilvy on Advertising? You know, the classic book from the 1960s, I think, but it's still relevant about how people perceive advertising and how to do it properly. I'm trying to remember if that's where I saw the effect of companies get sick of their ads a lot faster, or sick of their message a lot faster. We need to change our message. We've been saying the same thing so long, but the average person might've seen a blip by on their screen, you know, real quickly, once or twice. It hasn't sunk in yet. So the consistency and patience pieces are extremely important. How do you see how artificial intelligence is changing search engine optimization? And I mean that from a couple of points of view. One of them is changing consumer behavior, in that people are asking questions they used to ask Google now of artificial intelligence that may not credit the source, which brings me to another part of that. Do we need to change our messaging and package our messaging so that if we have a proprietary model of our market niche or our product or our service, do we need to really think about packaging it in a way that if AI regurgitates it after ingesting it from our website, it somehow points back to us? And do we need to take that into account these days?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I'm not sure about the packaging piece, but when it comes to like SEO and AI, I think we all kind of saw it, right? Everyone started using AI content, throwing a ton of it out. And then all of a sudden, the hammer comes down and websites that were ranking and skyrocketing went right down.
That's right.
And Google obviously did an update about, I think it was like 2 months ago or 3 months ago at this point. And it just shifted everything for content, right? A lot of content-based businesses are no longer making any money. So it's a lot of like industries that have been hit very, very hard in the SEO space. The way that I think about AI and SEO is use it to ideate, but then bring in like the expert opinion and bring in the expert thoughts, right? Like you can create infographics really, really fast and really, really easily. You can feed it data, you can manipulate data. Use it like you use Excel, but on steroids. Yeah. Because it can help you make much fuller content, but don't let it lead the actual writing of that content, right? Use it to supplement. And if we were to take that and take that out and just think about the broader picture of marketing, it's the same thing for AI, for all these other things. I can see like now brand strategy mood boards being done in less than 5 minutes and giving you three options that will give you the photo, the color, the feel that used to take weeks for a designer to do.
Absolutely. Okay?
And so the efficiency, the way that you can move fast is going to, it's just going to blow up, right? And where is that going to get to from that to building you like a foundational website with all the coding? It's probably not that far away, or might also already be here for some people that have already integrated the systems for it to do that.
Absolutely. One thing I've noted is there's a metaphor I saw on a podcast. It stuck with me. I wish I could remember the source of it. Is some people are using AI as if we have a really big airport near here in Atlanta, and it's got these walkways that propel you along. And some people just step on the walkway and let it propel them along, save their energy. Other people will hop on the walkway and still walk the normal speed and get there twice as quick.
Yeah.
And it's a difference between using AI to replace your work or using it to accelerate your creativity and draw from it. And not putting it between you and the customer, but having it by your side to inform what you're doing, so you're more adept at expressing something unique to your customer. And I tell my clients, it's like, if somebody can get the same answers you're giving from AI, why would they ask you?
Yeah.
It needs to be innovative, you know, and forward thinking in a way that maybe it's ingested by AI, but package it so if and when it is, then it's well packaged enough that the model points to you that way.
Absolutely.
It really seems to be changing workflows. Are you finding companies using it a lot, your customers in their marketing?
Yeah, I see customers using it more and more to create content, to create lead magnets, to create like all these different things, you know, even doing recognition letters, you know, like, hey, this person has done X over the last year. Please write a recognition letter for them and then go in and just fix a little bit of it, right? Like you don't have to write from scratch anymore. Like,
sure.
Just that's a very small thing, but how much time would that save for managers? It, performance time, right? Mm-hmm. And you can start creating custom GPTs where you feed it your voice so it feels more authentic and you're still reading over it, but ultimately you don't have to start from scratch, same way that you used to. You can use it to build a foundation and then build on that foundation where, like you said, right, add your expertise to the top of it because that's what makes it different, which is why I don't like to add my expertise into ChatGPT too much because I'm like, is it going to use it for everyone else? I'll expect what other people put into it and then I'll do mine in secret. Yeah, and then you see a lot of like the bigger companies because I used to work in a large company and I know a lot of people in the space. It's being used in those large companies a lot for efficiency work, and it's just going to come into mass market. It's just going to be part of every tool that we use at some point. You're going to go into Microsoft, for example, and it's going to be there, right? Mm-hmm. Amazon, all those things, they're all coming together.
You brought up a lot of good points with that. It certainly can accelerate workflows. It certainly can inform the workflow in a lot of certain pieces, but we don't need to put it between us and our customers, as you mentioned. Yeah. But it's speeding things up, you know, doing that first draft. Once you fed it some things, I like using it, feeding it transcribed stream of consciousness audio recordings.
Cool.
Help organize this. So this is coming from a fairly creative space, but that's an issue you brought up. You know, do I really want to put my expertise in there, especially for the thought leaders that are listening to this? You know, do I really want to just make this part of the general knowledge without attribution to me? And it reminds me of what Noam Chomsky said, that AI is just high-tech plagiarism right now. By yourself, I know at least for OpenAI, you can put tags on your web page to tell it not to ingest a certain web page and ingest other pages. Do you work with your clients around protecting their proprietary knowledge this way, or is that an issue at all?
I haven't, because that's not my area of expertise, but it is a great question to bring up. But that's not something that I've supported my customers with.
So how would you categorize the different marketing roles? And I'm just trying to tap a little more deeply, if you don't mind, into your mental models as a way of helping the listener maybe build out their own mental models of what can be done in marketing these days. If you have a list of different roles that you would look for in an agency to match up with different needs in an organization, how would you categorize such things?
Oh man, I've never been asked this question before, but my brain automatically just thinks about a million things. So I think one, you need to always have a strategist, right? Like if you're in the seven-figure range, there needs to be a strategist in play. And if you're less than the seven-figure range, that's likely going to be you. So learn some fundamental marketing pieces because you're going to be the strategist initially. After you have that, you need executioners, right? Like people that can bring things together, because you're not going to be paying that strategist to do that because it's going to be very expensive. So whether you have a marketing director or some sort of executor or some sort of junior marketing manager, that's the kind of other piece. And then you start looking at all the breadths and all the trees of marketing, right? You have branding, websites, SEO, Google Ads, Facebook, like influencer marketing, social media. All of these are branches of marketing at that point. And so as you start figuring out which branches you want to use, you got to find the executors for that. And then you got to think, well, do I need an agency execution? Do I need a contractor that can do a lot of this stuff? Or am I going to bring someone in-house and make them focus on that one specific thing because it's so important to my business? Mm-hmm. And so really, those are kind of like your three options that you have once you get to that like final stem or that branch on what you're kind of bring in. There are some unique resources out there that you typically won't find because you don't know you're looking for them.
Sure.
So for example, I know an agency that works with, you know, seven or eight figure businesses, more eight figure businesses, but they've all built out pods based on what a company needs. So let's say a company already has the Google and Facebook team in house, but they're about to do social media and they're about to do SEO. And so they would go to a company like this and the company would build out a team of 3 to 4 marketing people and input it into the company so that you don't have to go hiring for each of these individual roles. And they'll charge you $10,000 to $15,000 a month to do that. But instead of you having to hire for, you know, 5 or 6 different roles, they bring in the people that are already kind of working together and experienced. So they almost like put a pod into place. That's like one example that like people wouldn't think about going, oh, that's cool. Sure. There's another one that I ran into just because I've talked to so many people, you get to meet so many like cool different types of businesses. One is another company that they focus on enterprises, but they also work with smaller businesses. But when you think about an enterprise company, they have multiple different businesses that they purchased, right? And each one of those businesses typically will hire a different designer or graphic resource or each business. So you might have one enterprise, 8 business lines. Out of those 8 business lines, you have 5 different partners across the 8 because they don't speak to each other. These guys used to do a lot of like photography, video assets, stuff that you see like at the airports, like all this motion graphics. So instead of doing that, just like one-to-one as a normal agency, what they did is they created a software where the customer would be on one end, the agency partners on one end, and these guys sit in the middle and they do all the design work within their SaaS platform. So you ask for a video that's an hour and a half or a minute and a half long, and then out of that video, you need these resources cut out. You literally type it into the SaaS platform and say, can you do this stuff for it? And then their design team just edits it all. And then if an agency comes in and goes, hey, we're doing ad creative, we need someone that we need some ad creative that does this, this, and this, and this. Customer, can you approve this? They approve it, and then the team works on it. And so it just streamlines that whole design and video creative process to the point where they can do 44,000 assets in 1 year just for one company.
Wow, that's impressive. That seems to flush out a lot of communication waste.
Yeah. It's a very smart model built by a German company. And I was like, see, like these are really cool, innovative things that most people don't know about, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, so another question I wanted to ask is, if it fits into your model, if you've worked with it, how do you view these maybe solopreneur, author, innovators who go into companies and train them to accelerate the progress in a specific niche of market? And I'm thinking of a few guests we've had on this podcast One of them specializes in doing email newsletters people actually want to read instead of immediately, click on trash for them. And they're great at that. And they generally go into organizations and agencies in some cases and will train them to upscale their skill on that particular skill. How does that fit into your model, and how would you advise our listeners to think about such things?
Yeah, I love if you can find those resources, they're amazing, because if your marketing strategy aligns with the thing that those people do, those are the people you want to hire. And they're typically hard to find because they're not doing their own marketing. They don't really have the budget because they're solopreneurs, right? How many solopreneurs do you know outside of like coaching industry and that type of stuff, because they build up masterminds, do their own marketing? They don't. They just get referred through different networks, right? Yeah. So for me and like my model, I do have some of those resources. Like I have a B2B email guy that all he does is B2B email marketing, and that's it. But he only works with 6 customers at a time.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he can do, right? And he does charge a pretty penny. Like it could be anywhere from $4,000 to $8,000 a month, because he understands all the strategy, how it all pieces together, how once you say this, how do you guide them into that next stage of buying? And those resources are very, very hard to find. So if you do find those resources and they match with your marketing strategy of what you're trying to do, I would hire them, because they're going to fast track you, because if that's all they do and they're really good at it, it could propel you forward in those strategies.
Yeah, that's a great point. And yeah, I've seen a lot of that. A lot of them don't really need to market because they've, like I said, they just build their schedule through the network. Some of them do well by writing books on being on podcasts like mine. And that's how they get customers. So we usually wind these interviews up in a couple of ways. One of the two is, what are the top 3 things you'd recommend a listener do to advance their online messaging from your point of view that they can start doing right away? And the second part is, if someone's listening to this saying, I need to speak to Beta, how would they get a hold of you?
Okay, so the first one, the top 3 things. The first thing that came to my head is just buy a branding book and read one. That's number one. Most people don't understand brand and why people do it. So that would be the first thing that I do. 2 is I would look at your current marketing agencies and partners and ask questions around like, what are they doing? What results are they kind of bringing in? And are they the right fit for the type of business that I am now? A lot of people usually end up hiring too big of agencies, or they hire too small of agencies, and they don't realize that like, as you go through business, like you need to evolve your partners as you're going through it. So looking at that. And 3, ask yourself the question of like, what within the company, what is our level of marketing experience? It could be one person has a level 10. That's cool. I'll give you a level 10 and make sure that person's running everything. But ask the question of like, within your company, what level is the highest level of marketing experience that we have? And if that number is lower than like a 7, you need to find someone that you can bring in, either if it's on a consulting based business, based play, or bring someone in-house so that you have someone that can be the translator for you. Because a lot of the times when the relationships break or when marketing doesn't work is because you don't have someone that's translating what's actually happening in your business on the marketing front. So those would be the 3 things that I recommend that someone could literally start doing tomorrow.
Fantastic.
And then to answer the question of how can people find me, the best way is my website. So www.cgemmarketing.com, or finding me on LinkedIn. I share a ton of knowledge on LinkedIn. I love sharing knowledge and creating my own content. And also on the website, if you ever go there, there's a resource section where I have a ton of questions that you can use to ask agencies the right questions, so you're not being not hiring average-based marketing partners moving forward. I'm happy to chat with anyone that wants to reach out.
Fantastic. And to the listener, I'm going to link to all this on the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com, and it will be linked in the episode description if you are listening on the app. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, Chris, and some such great questions.
Thanks so much.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Thanks again for listening to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, and this has been Episode 79, Matching Marketers to Companies with Behdad Jamshetty, where we discussed things like the matchmaker of marketing, connecting businesses with agencies, growing without breaking, tips for agency success, slow and steady, sustainable growth in marketing agencies, aligning companies' internal resources with marketing agency expertise, and evolving marketing strategies, workflow design, and resource placement. So if you're listening on an app, make sure you go to the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com. It's linked to in the episode description, and there we have links to resources like Jamshidi's website, his LinkedIn page, his Instagram page, and also the free Marketer's Guide to Strategic Thought Leadership, a guide to organizing the building blocks of your own thought leadership. I'm Chris McNeil, Strategic Thought Leadership Coach and Consultant, Fractional CMO. This is Thought Leadership Studio. Thanks again for listening, and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Thought Leadership Studio.